Now, for a few minutes, we have a few minutes left. I'm going to invite us to go back to Proverbs chapter 6. A couple of weeks ago, two or three actually, we started in Proverbs chapter 6, and we were looking at those six or seven things that Solomon lists that God hates. We said then that hate is a strong word. But as I read through these attributes, these six or seven things, there's seven listed, but two of them are kind of alike. So that's why he says six or seven. As I was reading through these are in Proverbs 6, beginning at 16 to 19. The more I pondered them, the more I looked at them and read over this, the more I realized perhaps the reason, I'm going to read them again for us in just a moment. Perhaps one of the reasons that God hates these things is because when you look at them closely, I see them as attributes of the enemy. Are you with me? The devil. When he says these things, six things God hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him, he lists out those things. Number one is a proud look. Why, after all, did heaven expel the enemy of our souls, called Satan? Because of pride. Are you with me? The next thing he lists is a lying tongue. Do you remember what Jesus said about the enemy? He said several things, but one of them, two of them, are his native tongue is to speak lies. That's all he can talk, is lies. These are attributes of the enemy. Hands that shed innocent blood. Another thing that Jesus said about the enemy is, he came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the devil does. And so I read these six things, and I guess maybe I'm a little slower than most. It finally dawned on me after reading it a dozen times. These are attributes of the enemy. Perhaps that is why God hates them. And so, he lists them. He talks about pride and a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift to running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And the last one, and one who sows discord among the brethren. We looked at pride already a couple of weeks ago. And so we need not look at that again. I want to pick it up where we left off with the second thing that Solomon said God hates is a lying tongue. Now, before I go any further, let me say this, friends. You don't get to heaven on some checklist. Okay, you with me? Okay, you can say, Jim, I don't lie, I don't steal, I don't cheat, I don't do this, that, and the other thing. Check, 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 check. We get, become part of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven in time when God comes, when Jesus comes or God takes us home, because of what Christ has done on the cross and because we have repented of our sin, knowing we need a Savior and invited Christ to be our Savior and live for Him. That's how we get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. He's not saying except through church membership, baptism, or anything else. Except through Christ. On the merits of Jesus Christ on the cross is how we arrive in heaven someday. Hallelujah. And so when I talk to you about these things, it's not, okay, people of God, are you checking this off the list to say, I have that accomplished? So as some scorecard that I might attain heaven. I'm not bringing that up because of that. I am bringing these things up because, as I said 2 weeks ago, these things should no longer be named among God's people. Are you with me? If I have been born again, if I have trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, these things that God hates should no longer be part of who I am. They should be part of the past. I'm just going to use a couple of examples. I may have had feet that ran quickly to evil or shedding of innocent blood or something else in my past. But if I repent and call upon Christ, He will forgive me of all that. And repent means turn away. And when I'm walking with Jesus, these things that God hates should be who we used to be, not who we are anymore. That makes sense? Okay, so I'm not talking about these seven things that God hates because as if some checklist, because it's on the merits of Jesus the Christ and what's been done on the cross is how we get to heaven and how we embrace that, receive Him as Lord. That is how we get to heaven. These things are just things that Solomon listed because, well, number one, God hates them. And number two, they shouldn't be named among Christ's people. So that's why I talk about them. Here we go. Second one, a lying tongue. And I mentioned this already. Jesus said that the native tongue of the devil is to lie. He was also called the father of all lies. But unfortunately, we all know this to be true. The father of all lies is very good at convincing others to do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? It becomes very natural for some just to not tell the truth. I maintain there is a reason that God listed in the original 10. I'm sure you remember the original 10 commandments. There is a reason that He listed number 9 as, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor, because that's lying. There's a reason He did that. He don't like lying. Today, we think nothing about lying from the White House to the church house and everywhere in between. It's just commonplace anymore. It just seems to be somewhat, I don't want to say normal, but normal to not tell the truth. We are no longer bothered to lie to our boss, or we are no longer bothered about lying on our time card. We are no longer bothered about lying to the IRS on some handy little papers that got to be filled out around April 15. Doesn't bother us to lie any longer, it seems, to our spouse or to our children or to our parents if we are to our children. Doesn't even seem to bother us anymore when we hear continual lies from people on maybe some political position. We almost seem to expect it. Lying is something that God hates. And let me say this, I've said it many, many times. We can fool some people some of the time with our lies, but you are never, we are never fooling God. Whether we're living a lie or telling a lie, we are not fooling God. And so here's my point, brothers and sisters. When Jesus called us in the Sermon on the Mount to be salt and light, do you remember that? Do you remember when He said, you are the light of the world? You can't hide a light when you've put it under a bushel. You can't set a city on a hill and expect it to be hidden. He expects His people to be light for Him, not light for negativity. And if lying is who we are, we begin to be known for negativity and lying, not for Jesus. And so I bring this up because God has called us to be different than we used to be when we claim Him as Lord. There's a story in Acts chapter 5. I don't have time to go there because our time is already pretty well gone. But in Acts chapter 5, there is this couple, man and woman, called Ananias and Sapphira. Have you heard of them, brothers and sisters? Some of you have. Ananias and Sapphira were a couple in the up-and-coming new church in the first few chapters of Acts. And in those first few chapters, people were literally selling some of their possessions, some of their land, and bringing it to the apostles and say, we realize there are needy folks around, and so we're giving this to you, and you distribute it where it needs to be. Very gracious. However, Ananias and Sapphira they conspired just a little bit, and they said, okay, let's go and tell Peter we sold the 40 acres for so much, and we'll give him that much, but really they sold it for so much, and we'll just keep a little bit here, and we'll just tell him other than that. Well, in Acts chapter 5, verse 4, Ananias and Sapphira had lied about the proceeds from which they sold their property and brought to Peter. And Peter summed it up very clearly like this when he said, you've not lied to men, but you've lied to God. And if you know the story at all, they both fell down dead. God took lying very seriously. Still does. Proverbs 19:5 says it this way, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. Proverbs 19:9 says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. You say, Jim, what do you mean? Well, let me elaborate just a little bit from John the Revelator. This is Proverbs. This is Solomon. This is 950 B.C. Then when Jesus has been here, one of his disciples was John. John wrote John, and he wrote Revelation, and in Revelation 21:8, this is now nearly 1,000 years later after Solomon said, and he who speaks lies shall perish, John wrote this, all liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. That is Revelation 21:8. That's pretty serious, friends. God hates lying. Proverbs 29:12 says, if a ruler pays attention to lies, all of his servants will become wicked. And if you think about that a while, you'll see the rationale behind that. Because if a ruler is starting to listen to any old thing, and he'll believe lies, and he'll act on lies, then pretty quick his servants don't want anything to do with him. And so he says, if a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked. God hates lying. I maintain it'd just be easy to tell the truth in the first place. That way we don't have to remember what the lie was the last time we told it. There's so much more here. Our time is gone. Man, oh man, we only made two of them. There's six or seven of them, and we've only got through two of them. It's taken us 2 weeks to do it. Let me just say one more thing really briefly, and we'll close with a song, because I don't want to come back to this necessarily. I want you to look at it. I want you to understand it. I want you to understand that there's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? I want us to understand that. If pride, we talked a great deal about pride 2-3 weeks ago, or lying, or feet that run quickly to evil, or shedding of innocent blood, or one that's stirring up strife in the church or whatever else, if that's who we used to be, I want us to understand one thing for sure. There is forgiveness of sin when we confess it and repent before God. Amen? That is really good news. Because no matter who we used to be, we can be brand new in Christ. And I bring up these things, like I said today, because these things shouldn't be named among His people. Hands that shed innocent blood is a very, very serious matter. Commandment 6 says, you shall not murder. Solomon lists it again. Hands that shed innocent blood are something that God hates. And we can argue, you know what, Jim? There's lots of killing going on in the Old Testament. Yes, there was. You can argue that. And I'll give you one example that there's lots of them. There's hundreds of them. But when God instructed Joshua to take the people across the Jordan and to basically wipe out the Canaanites, it was not because they were innocent. They were guilty of idol worship and all manner of mayhem, and it was God's punishment on the Canaanites. That is not what He's talking about when He said God hates hands that shed innocent blood. However, the Canaanites and other pagan nations were also guilty of sacrificing their own children to gods to appease some wooden or stone figure. Literally, sacrifice their children. Over and over and over, you will read this phrase in the Old Testament, and they made their children to pass through the fire. That means they're sacrificing their kids, trying to get some response from some idol. God detested that practice and his own people, the Israelites, because they didn't wipe out the Canaanites completely in the promised land. It wasn't long and God's own people were doing the same thing, sacrificing their children to appease some God. God said over and over in the Old Testament, he said, this didn't even enter my mind, and yet my people are doing this. And so, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. You say, Jim, what's that got to do with anything today? Friends, listen to me. I fear that it's since 1973 we've done the same thing. We legalized the murdering of innocent blood in 1973. And we've done it 55 million times. When Jerusalem was guilty of this practice of sacrificing their own kids, they did not go unpunished by God. God takes this stuff very, very seriously. Solomon says he hates it. There is forgiveness in Jesus. Hallelujah. There is restoration. There is forgiveness. There's opportunity to be brand new. There are other things that he says he hates. One of them is stirring up strife among the brethren. Just go ahead, we're going to sing 213. God hates the idea of people making trouble amongst his people. He's not talking to the pagans when he says stirring up strife among the brethren. He's talking about followers of Christ. And if that is our makeup, to make trouble, to stir up trouble, to muddy the waters, Solomon says he hates that too. And so I just conclude this series of what God hates. We're going to go on with Proverbs more. With saying, let it not be named among his people. Let it not be named among God's people, these things that God hates. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's a new day when we trust Christ as Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making life livable and doable. You know, Father, sometimes life gets heavy and hard and lonely, and it wears us down, and we're not even sure we want to go on. But when we have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we have surrendered completely to the Master, we can say with confidence like this song, I can face tomorrow because He lives and He is in tomorrow. He is in my future because I have trusted Him. And so, Father, help us no matter what the situation is today to put Jesus first, to trust Him completely, to surrender to Him fully, to walk with Him daily, and know for certainly because of what He has done on Calvary's cross and our faith in Him, we can face tomorrow and we can face eternity because Jesus lives. Go with each one here, Father. Draw them close. Comfort. Forgive us when we have erred and sinned against You. Help us to grow closer and closer to You with each passing day. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.